The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.
Hey, y'all. I'm Bud Elliott, and this is Cover 3 College Football Summer School. We've done our research on the teams, and now we're bringing on the top team experts from the 24/7 Sports Network to help us fill in the blanks. Please follow us on Twitter at Cover 3 Podcast. That's Cover 3 Podcast. And leave us a 5-star review on Apple and Spotify. All right. Class is in session. Hey guys, welcome back in to the Cover 3 College Football Podcast. I'm Bud Elliott, and this is the Summer School Series. And today, we're going to talk a little Notre Dame football with Tim Priester of Irish Illustrated. Tim, welcome to Summer School.
Thanks, Bud. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Just really excited to talk a little Irish off a tremendous season, 11-2. They agree with the power ratings there, a legitimate top 10 caliber, Vegas-rated team. I love when that matches up, so we don't have to start off debating just how good they really were. Looking at the schedule this year, I think they're probably favored in 10 or 11 games and probably by double digits in, between 5 and 8, depending on how you feel about some of the teams on the schedule. I'm kind of bullish on this team, I feel like, and then yet I still have some questions to ask you about.
I'm cautious. Okay. Having been around for now 7 head football coaches at Notre Dame, I mean, clearly Marcus Freeman is doing all the right things in recruiting and behind the scenes and asking the right questions and soliciting opinions from people in the know, including former Notre Dame head coaches like Lou Holtz. So it's not a matter of that. It's the learning curve on game day. I mean, the reality is that they played the Fiesta Bowl, difficult circumstances for Marcus Freeman to take over, but they had a 21-point lead and they let it slip away. So, some in-game things that every head coach, every first-time head coach has to deal with. But I think the strength of this team is the defensive side of the ball, which is a great place to start. And if you had to name two areas, I could name more than two that are really strong, but it's the offensive line and the defensive line. So that's a good starting point. When I look at the schedule, I see a couple of the best quarterbacks in the country with Ohio State and USC, starting the season with Ohio State and ending it with USC. So there's some pitfalls there. I think the schedule is a little bit more difficult. I don't know that I'd say then normal, but you throw Clemson in there and a trip to Vegas to play a very good BYU team or one that was very good last year. So there's some stumbling blocks there, but this is the transition is with Marcus Freeman as a game day coach. Everything otherwise is in pretty good shape with this team.
Well, one area I wanted to start with was the offense. Last year I had him power rated inside the top 20 for offense, but interestingly, I felt like Notre Dame under Brian Kelly was always a really good running team. And last year, their passing efficiency was much higher than their run efficiency was, which was interesting. And I got to say, Jack Cohn performed much better than I thought he would entering the season. But I was also a little bit disappointed at times in the run game. And I'm curious, do you see that the run efficiency this year changing or perhaps the run frequency or both?
I think probably both. Harry Hiestand returns as offensive line coach, who has churned out first-round draft choices up front. And plus, that line is just more experienced. They didn't struggle early in the season last year. They were terrible early in the season last year. And then they started to put it all together. They found some answers with offensive line coach Jeff Quinn. They end up, they had 4 different starting left tackles. 2 of them were true freshmen. Both of those guys now will be starters at the 2 tackle spots, Blake Fisher and Joe Ault, as sophomores, although Fisher only played 2 games because of injury. So there was a big transition there. Somehow they pulled it together midway through the season and allowed them to finish off 11-1 during the regular season. And when I said they're strong in most positions, the questions now are at quarterback, because Jack Cohn was – for as immobile as he was very efficient throwing the football and very accurate. And they stuck with him at a time, you know, at times early in the year when he couldn't get out of the way of the pass rush. So now they go to Tyler Buchner, very highly touted, very little in experience, including going back to his high school days when he missed one season because of injury and he missed another because of COVID. So, you know, inexperience there. And then the real concern is the wide receiver room, which only had four scholarship players in it this spring, which even for a spring, that's an incredibly low number.
Yeah. That's hard to run practice.
It really is. It really is. And you don't know how battle tested your secondary is going against a group like that. Although I do think the secondary will be improved, but so they need, you know, they need grad transfers, at least one, probably two, to get that wide receiver room up to speed. And then that's difficult with a first time starting quarterback. But So to answer your original question, I think that they probably do run it a little bit more and or throw the football to the running backs more, which we've seen offensive coordinator Tommy Rees kind of cling to as he moves forward in his third year as the coordinator.
Ton of good information here so far from Tim Priester of Irish Illustrated. Buchner as the presumptive starter. I think we've all known in the recruiting and scouting community just how talented he is, but you're right. Just the reps haven't been there. That's a kid that just needs to play. Right? There's some learning on the job element for sure. You mentioned receiver. I was going to go there. I've always been a fan of Kevin Austin since I saw him as a sophomore down at the old Nike camps. Now they're, you know, really kind of not a thing anymore. With him leaving, and who scares opposing defenses from the receiver position? I know they're light on numbers, but do they have somebody who stands out to you as the you know, presumptive dude in that offense?
I think there's a presumptive dude. I don't know that there's anybody that scares anybody yet. Maybe as the season progresses, you know, I think the guy Lorenzo Styles would be the guy that can scare people. He really had a strong freshman year, started slowly, didn't get a lot of playing time, and then got better and played more as the season went on. They really need Avery Davis to bounce back from an ACL. When I talk about, you know, guys that were there this spring, Avery Davis didn't even practice because he was coming back from an ACL. And then Braden Lindsey. I mean, those are the three best / most experienced guys at wide receiver. Joe Wilkins coming off an ACL as well. So, I mean, their numbers are down. And as far as like scary people, they don't really have that guy. I mean, I think Styles can fall into that category, but you're pinning a lot of hope on a kid like Tobias Merriweather, who was a, you know, top rated receiver coming out of high school, but he wasn't here in the spring and he'll have to adapt quickly in August. So that's why I say they need one grad transfer receiver, but they're probably better off getting two. And I'm not sure either of those would scare anybody, but it would at least make it a much more established and competent receiver room.
It would be less scary for Notre Dame fans if they actually had decent scholarship.
Yeah, that's for sure.
to stick with the scary theme.
Right.
Last question for you on the offense. Obviously, anytime you go from an offensive head coach and then you go to a defensive head coach who retains the existing OC, the question is going to come up. What is there anything that Tommy Rees wants to do differently, not necessarily based on personnel, because certainly, as we discussed with the increased run reps, most likely that's going to be a personnel based, you know, tendency and decision. Is there anything that you're aware of that Rees wanted to do that maybe not clashed with Kelly, but just Kelly had, you know, wanted to do different things? And now that Rees is calling his own shots, he gets to do.
Yeah, it's a good question. It's one that's come up frequently since Brian Kelly left. And even Tommy Rees will tell you that, you know, he was in charge. He was making the play calls on game day. And there's always a give and take with the head coach, especially since the head coach was at Notre Dame because of what he did offensively at Cincinnati. But I think to answer your question, I think maybe be a little bit more aggressive at times, probably at the end of halves, end of first half, those kind of things, instead of playing it close to the vest, although Rees called it conservatively at the end of the first half of the Oklahoma State Fiesta Bowl. So I don't think that there's anything drastic. That was the conception of the situation once that Brian Kelly left. But Rees will even tell you that it's his offense. He'll run it. He's very creative, very diverse. He hasn't fully hit his stride yet where he's really put out a real high-powered offense. His hands have been tied a little bit, especially with the way the offensive line performed the first half last year. And then the questions about, the receiver room right now. So I don't think there will be anything significant. I think he does a good job of playing to his strengths, and his strength starts with number 87, a tight end, Michael Mayer. So he will be emphasized heavily. But you have to get productivity, and you have to be able to, quote, scare people with their wide receivers. And so they're going to need to develop that. I don't think it'll be anything really, really drastically different from what they did. And it was creative. His offense has been creative. It hasn't necessarily been matched by the productivity of it.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features ensure that you can take on any adventure. What kind of features? Well, how about the available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud? Or the standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together? How about available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone? We're always trying to think about those great spring and summer getaways, but with a car like the Hyundai Santa Fe, anywhere can be your next adventure. To learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe, go to HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for complete details. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
For sure. Something that we don't expect to change very much stylistically just due to the continuity with the head coach and DC is the defense. A top 15 unit in 2021, if you adjust for opponent, carry the team at times, especially I thought early on with the play of the safeties. But I want to start up front, and this is a spot where I'm a little bit concerned by the number of snaps lost. I mean, I'm looking here, it looks like 900 snaps lost by interior defensive linemen from last year's team. But Notre Dame has recruited the defensive line about as well as I can remember since probably the early 1990s. So that's a long time. Some of our listeners probably weren't even born then. Am I wrong to just be confident that they're going to have guys step up? And if not, who do you think is going to be the guys who step up there?
I don't think you're wrong in that assumption. And let me start by talking about Al Golden, the new defensive coordinator, which I think was a creative, kind of inspired choice by Marcus Freeman. That was promoted a little bit by Director of Athletics Jack Swarbrick, who got to know Al Golden in the head coaching process when they hired Brian Kelly. Not that he was necessarily, he did kind of consider hiring Al Golden as the head coach, but he had struggled at Miami. But I think it's an inspired choice because he comes from an NFL. He was with the Bengals. He was in the Super Bowl. He wasn't coordinator, but he was a linebackers coach for 5 years. And he brings with him a different perspective from the NFL. And part of that is the realization that you can't wait till halftime to make changes with your defense. You have to be able to react on the fly. And if not play by play, series by series. And I think Golden that's a concept that Golden has brought there that Marcus Freeman feels good about. I think their defensive line, they're not overly blessed with a ton of off the edge guys, but they do have a couple good ones in Isaiah Foskey and Justin Adamolola. They do have to stay healthy. I think Jason Adamolola, the twin brother of Justin on the interior, was a really, really quietly almost great defensive tackle for Notre Dame last year. The guy that they lost was Kurt Heinisch, who played 5 years, took advantage of that COVID year and took another year. But they have depth there. And I think that was something that we saw in the blue gold game Saturday, that, you know, you can split up the defensive line all you want. You still have two pretty good defensive lines there. So I think it starts there. They have talent at linebacker. I think the corners and safety situation has improved. I think you're accurate when you assume that this is going to be, continue to be a quality defensive team in the, you know, following Clark Lee, following Marcus Freeman, and now Al Golden.
I also want to say, as a guy who lives in Florida and, you know, has covered the state of Florida for about 15 years now, Golden kind of got a raw deal at Miami. I don't know if he'll speak about this publicly, but the level of sanctions that were coming for what happened at Miami in the early to mid 2000s before he got there, I don't think were fully disclosed in that process. And then he got there, and just a few months later, they dropped those sanctions. That was almost anybody who had accepted that job was going to be set up to not fail, but not succeed at the highest level that you would think about with the University of Miami. At linebacker, I think I agree with you. They should be okay. Obviously, you're the expert. Losing White and Bauer, not impact guys really. I mean, just they played 800 snaps, but I feel like that's replaceable given how they recruit linebackers.
Yeah, actually, Bauer's back. White
is back.
Bauer's back. White was the brain trust. There's no doubt about that, and the leader. But they, you know, the guy that they were really, really high on, that we were high on when we watched August practice last year, was Maris Liafau, and then he suffered a broken lower leg preseason, and they had to play JD Bertrand, who played his butt off and led the team in tackles, but was not in a position to be a every down player for them. So Bauer's back, Leofile's back, made an interception in the spring game, which is the kind of impact guy that he has, that he is. And then, you know, they got a kid named Jack Kaiser, who came from a 1A school in Indiana, which Indiana's a basketball school, not a football school.
Oh, Tim, I saw Kaiser down here at the Miami Adidas 7-on-7. He killed it.
No, he's really, he's
very athletic.
The player, when you ask the players who you respect the most on this team, which I did last year, like about 30% of them, you know, out of all the guys they could choose, this was a guy that was a, you know, an underclassman. They would choose Jack Kaiser. Very smart, very instinctive. After the spring game, I wrote the best tackler on the team. I think Pro Football Focus had him for 2 missed tackles last year, which is an impossible accomplishment. So yeah, they're good. I mean, I don't know that they're, you know, if you say, okay, do they have a whole bunch of 4- and 5-star linebackers? No, but they have good football players that have some experience. All three of the, well, Leofau doesn't have a ton of experience, but he has the most athletic ability of that group. So, and then they have some depth, because if Bertrand starts, you have Bauer off the bench or vice versa. And then Prince Colley's another guy that is in the mix there. So they're good there. I think that they'll be better there than they were last year, because now they can tap into a little bit more depth.
No doubt about it. Losing Hamilton and Houston Griffith at safety, but you bring in Joseph from Northwestern, who I don't think is quite as good as Hamilton was, but should still be a starter, I would assume.
Absolutely. He's not Kyle Hamilton athletically and lengthwise, but he is Kyle Hamilton football instincts, smarts, confidence. I also compare him to Alohi Gilman from a couple of years ago, just in terms of when those guys, those three guys, Hamilton and Joseph and Gilman, when those three guys walk on the football field, they're completely confident that their playmakers are going to do something great. And Joseph was, we didn't get a whole lot of access to watching practice this spring, but he had at least one interception in the first 5 padded practices. He's just a ball hawk. Cut from the same cloth as Kyle Hamilton, but not a first-round draft choice, but a guy that probably will play in the NFL and is confident that he will. So he leads that group. Again, the safeties are deeper than they've been. And then the corners, you know, you have Cam Hart, you have Clarence Lewis, who was really exposed by Oklahoma State in the Fiesta Bowl, but had a good spring. And then you have some young guys there too. So the secondary is – it's better and it's deeper, which is the same thing I'd say about the linebacker core.
No doubt about it. Tim Priester, Irish Illustrated, really looking forward to reading more of your coverage throughout the summer. We'll have to have you back on for our fall previews. And Tim, I can't thank you enough for the time, man. I feel like I learned an absolute ton about Notre Dame today.
I appreciate it. Really enjoyed it. Thanks, bud.
All right, take care. All right, that's the bell. Cover 3 College Football Summer School is over for today. But don't worry, we'll be back soon with even more episodes filling you in on the top teams in college football. Please give us those 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Follow us on YouTube and on Twitter at Cover3 Podcast, and we'll see y'all soon.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.